Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you by M&A Moving and Hauling, serving all of Central Iowa for your moving needs. Call Adam or Brian at 515-491-6348, and they'll send you a couple of guys. This is Shane Vanderhart with Brian Myers. Welcome back to another edition of Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We're glad you tuned in. Brian, how was your week?
Well, it was a good one. I was on the road, as you know, and it was good to be home.
Yeah, I bet. It gets tiring living out of suitcases. I've had a stretch. I don't travel nearly as much as you do, but I...
Yeah, and I missed last week's show. How did that go?
The last week, you mean the couple weeks ago?
Is that when I missed it? I don't remember.
Yeah, well, he's obviously, you got coffee there, right?
Yeah, but okay. It isn't going to do any good. Right. Without a calendar in front of me, I have no idea where I've been or where I'm going.
It is the 22nd today. We are recording, by the way. I guess this airs on the 23rd, but yeah. So now you know where you're at. It's Friday morning, the 22nd, and people will be hearing this on the 23rd.
Yeah, and now you've royally gaffed things up.
Yeah, I know. Because nobody knows we record this ahead of time.
Oh, no one knows that.
Yeah, that's a well-kept secret that's now out.
Well, listen, you, on the other hand, had a rather interesting week.
You talking about Waverly?
Well, I'm speaking, yes, that too, but I was also speaking of, the difficulties that your daughter had.
Oh, yeah, that's true too.
Was a rough period there, daughter, in the Vanderhart household.
Yeah, Lillian had been complaining about abdominal pain, and then Cheryl took her to the ER and ended up being appendicitis, so emergency surgery on Sunday morning. So she's back home recovering.
Yeah, I was glad to hear things
camped out on
well.
The couch still. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't perforated, so she's doing well taking advantage of the time off. So, and then, yeah, Waverly, people are like, what about Waverly? Waverly, I had a chance to do a Common Core forum, and I have to say, I hope that's not representative of the community.
They almost got the tomatoes out, I hear.
Almost, yeah. I think there was an orchestrated attempt to get people there who disagreed with me. So that was a lot of fun.
But, you know, even when I disagree with you, I don't throw eggs and tomatoes.
That's true. I know you're tempted, though. You just don't have them in hand.
Are you saying if they were available right now that
possibly,
I would use them?
I possibly.
Oh, okay.
You know, I wouldn't put it past you. But, hey, you know what? I am glad to see you, that you are... You know, you're showered and, well, I was going to say shave, but you trim your beard and you look presentable.
Now, what does that mean?
Because we have an in-studio guest today. Usually you just kind of show up from basketball practice and we have a special guest. We have state auditor Mary Moseman in studio with us.
You had to insult me right before you bring our guest on board, right?
Right. Well, you look great.
Well, thank you.
You know, maybe I'm projecting some of this on myself too, because I did my hair. I didn't come with a ball cap, and I shaved. So,
well, I do smell better than I normally do when I come here after basketball. But,
and we appreciate that. Well, I'd say our listeners do too, but they don't really care, I'm sure. So, welcome, Mary.
Well, it's wonderful to be here.
Great. She's like, what did I get myself into? I just wanted to. A lot of our listeners probably don't know that much about you. So why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are and where you're from? And
okay. Yeah, rescue us from this mindless silliness.
I just don't want to add too much to it. Well, I am Mary Moseman, and I am the state auditor of Iowa. I was appointed to this position by Governor Branstad May of 2013 after the resignation of David Vaught, my predecessor. He became the chairperson of GASB, the Government Accounting Standards Board. So the governor was looking for a replacement and threw my hat in the ring, and he said yes. So... I've been doing that for a little over a year now. I am originally from Hubbard, Iowa. That's Hardin County, center of the state. I'm from a pretty big family. Most of my family lives and farms in the central Iowa area, have for well over 100 years. My husband, Dan, and I, we've been married 32 years.
Congrats.
Dan and I, Dan owns a small commercial refrigeration company. It's called Lester Mechanical. It's based in Story County, so that's where we live. We're the proud parents of four daughters. One daughter Oh, she's our Iowa State Cyclone. She graduated. We have a
daughter.
We have a daughter that's a graduate of the University of Northern Iowa. She's our Panther. And we have a very proud Hawkeye at the University of Iowa. And our fourth daughter, our tiebreaker. We moved her into the dorm. She's a freshman at Iowa State this fall.
Okay,
so.
Well.
Now we've balanced.
But you got
that.
But really, for when you're talking about politics, mm-hmm. I mean, you really have the perfect family for that. You could, hey, we've got kids everywhere.
Got it covered. We have all the proper gear in our closets. We need to make sure we're wearing the right T-shirt to the right event. But we've got it covered.
Great. So I'm just kind of curious. Mm-hmm. When you were you were Story County Auditor,
yes.
And then you were working in the Secretary of State's
yes.
office when Governor Branstad, you know. Called you up?
Yes.
How'd that conversation go?
Well, actually, the governor was seeking applicants, people who were interested in being the state auditor. And he had a couple of qualifications that he wanted to see on one's resume. And one, the first one, the highest of priorities, was that the candidate be a certified public accountant. So I am a CPA. And since I had served as Story County Auditor, I'd been on the ballot in Story County for three different elections.
Mm-hmm.
And that made it palatable for me to consider running a statewide race. So from the moment that I put my hat in the ring to be the state auditor, I knew that I would likely be seeking the elected position in November of this year.
Sure. So when he asked you, was it something that you're thinking, okay, let me think about that, yes?
Or actually, I approached him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
We know Dave Vaught was, mm-hmm. he's been... God, we trust everybody else we audit.
Absolutely.
I love that phrase.
Yeah.
How are you different than Dave, though?
Well, one of my goals when I put my application in was to continue with the best practices and procedures that David Vaught had started. I was a fairly new county auditor when Dave Vaught became our state auditor. And I really appreciated what he did in the state auditor's office. I thought that helped local officials, such as myself, in our fiduciary responsibility. The fact that he had great expertise and professionalism behind every single audit that he was required to conduct, and the fact that he was truly a taxpayer's watchdog. He took an independent voice regarding the state of Iowa's financial future and where the tax dollars in our budget are being spent. He took that message to the people of Iowa. He worked, I believe, with the governor's office and the General Assembly, but he spoke directly to the people of Iowa because it's those individuals, the voters, the people of Iowa, that our General Assembly, our governor's office, listen to. So he knew that he was the taxpayer's watchdog. I wanted to continue with those procedures
mm-hmm.
and build upon them. One of the things that we've identified in our office, some of the more prominent audits that we do are our fraud audits. Those usually get broader attention than our regular audits.
Yeah,
exactly. But one of the things that we've been discussing over the last few months is making sure that our reporting of these financial fraud audits have some value.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to not only report on them, we want to get in front of the people that have fiduciary responsibility, not just your city clerks, your county auditors, your school administrators, but also the people who are elected or appointed that have fiduciary responsibility. So your city council members, your school board members, library trustees, if we can get a message in front of them that they are part of the oversight of taxpayer money, we think that that can help reduce and hopefully even eliminate fraud. If they know that their role is to provide oversight, segregation of duties, perhaps we won't have one individual that can both perpetrate and cover up a fraud.
Okay. Now you've been doing this job for a while.
Yeah.
What are some things that you thought, wow, I didn't expect that, or something that, I'm learning as I go?
One of the things that was surprising to me is just how much audit work there is out there. Everybody is pretty familiar, we have our 99 counties, we have 900-some cities. Schools, that's a changing number, but it's approximately 600 school districts. We have our community colleges, and of course, we have our entire state department. There is a lot of audit work out there. I knew we partnered with private CPA firms. The state auditor's office is the required auditor for the state government,
mm-hmm.
But local governments have the choice. They can either use the state auditor's office to conduct their audit work, or they can choose a private CPA firm. I knew the state auditor's office provided training to the private CPA firms that conduct governmental audits, mm-hmm. but what I didn't realize is just how important those private CPA firms are, because sure. it's a lot of audit work. So that's just something that was news to me.
Sure. How many people work in the auditor's office?
We have a little over 100 employees. Most of them are CPAs, and they do work all over the state mm-hmm. on site in our cities, in our school districts, in our counties as they conduct this audit work.
Yeah, since you've been in office, how many audits do you think you guys do a year? Just a guesstimate.
I think per year we'll put out in between 400 and 500 audits.
Wow. And mm-hmm. how often do city governments and county mm-hmm. governments, how often are they required to do an audit?
Most government entities, it's annual. Cities are unusual because it depends on their population and on, I'm going to say, a risk factor. So cities with population of 2,000 or more, they're going to have an annual audit. Population of 2,000 or less, it's going to be subject to their budgeted expenditures over a two-year period.
Mary, when you look at the aggregate mm-hmm. number of audits that your office does in a course of a year, what percentage of those audits come back with actual fraud mm-hmm. that you've caught?
Well, I'm not going to answer in a percentage. I'm going to give you a defined number. We do have. I'm going to make a statement that every single audit, whether it's conducted by our office or a private CPA firm, if it's for a governmental entity, it's public record. So sure. every single audit is available on our webpage. Most are, well, some are done by us, some are done by the private CPA firms. The fraud audits, they are also listed on our webpage. Since I've been auditor, it's, I believe, 25, 26 fraud audits, and that's just a little over a year. And the dollar figure of those audits is little over $2.5 million. So that's wow. that's significant in a simple mm-hmm. Time frame. Percentage-wise, I'm going to say about one. Well, if we put out 400 audits, you can do the math there. But most of our audits are just the annual audits or the performance audits. We also do performance audits that are available also on our webpage. And that's during our annual audit work, if we notice that there can be efficiencies or improvements, we will go in separately and do a performance audit to help achieve efficiencies in different government entities. So those are there as well.
Okay. How does that work within the state government? Because I know you have the Iowa Department of Management that right. does similar things with the performance audit, right. Audits. Do you work hand in hand?
We do not work collaboratively on audit work with the Department of Management. Most every performance audit is submitted to the director of the Department of Management, but we do that work solo, though I must put out a plug because the Department of Management and the Department of the Legislative Service Agency, mm-hmm. Department of Administrative Services, those financial offices, they are very good partners when it comes to working to help achieve efficiencies in our different government entities.
Great.
But there's always room for improvement.
Oh, sure, sure. Yeah. Now, how have things been going on? You've been out campaigning. Mm-hmm. Getting talked to regular Iowans. What are
Absolutely.
Some things you're hearing on the campaign trail?
She's not talking to any regular Iowans today.
Well, no. We're the irregular ones.
We don't count.
I am so excited to actually run a statewide campaign. I have been a lifelong Iowan, and I now have opportunity to go to the different corners of our state, and I am having a blast. Our state is full of treasures. It's full of great people. Mm-hmm. And everywhere I go, whether it's a political event or a community event, there's just a lot of optimism. I think, you know, it's an election year. Well, mm-hmm. it's the election season is upon us, so there's a lot of optimism. There's also a little bit of frustration with politics or policies or things that have been going on, but on the heels of that is optimism.
Great. So how are you different than your Democratic opponent?
The main distinction between myself and my opponent, I am a CPA. My opponent is not a CPA. And that's a little known fact that if the state auditor is not a CPA, the office loses its status as a CPA firm, mm-hmm. which would impact our ability to hire and retain CPAs. And most governmental audits are required to be done by a licensed certified public accountant.
That's just amazing to me that anybody would want to run for that office if they're not a CPA. It'd be kind of like running for attorney general without being a member of the bar or I don't know if we still have elected coroners, but running for coroner, hey, I'm interested in that job without being, you know, a medical doctor. I mean, this makes sense to me why anybody would want to do that.
Well, that's a first for a comparison, but...
you are... I have to say, I'd much rather be an auditor than a coroner.
As would I. So thank goodness we have coroners out there.
But in a way, you guys both dissect things, right?
This is true. Oh, good analogy. Good analogy. I'll take that back to the office and see what they say.
Moving on, you've recently dissected our state budget.
Yes.
What do you find?
Well, overall, Iowa is in a good financial position. One of the key things about our budget is, I'm going to jump right to it, we have four consecutive years of a surplus carry forward. That's significant because that's taxpayer monies that are already in the state's coffer, mm-hmm. so to speak. And therefore, our General Assembly, our governor's office, they do have the decision authority to of what they're going to use that money for. It can't just sit mm-hmm. available to the state. They really should be using that money for a specific purpose. Another good thing that we've had is four consecutive years where our average annual revenue growth has exceeded our average annual expenditure growth. So that's a good practice for our decision makers, our 151 decision makers, our General Assembly and our Governor's Office to have. It's meaning that as revenues have grown, they have had discipline in spending. They do have two key laws that were put on the books in 2013, and those two laws have this. They were put in the books with this very risky budget practice, such as I'll talk about it. It's the property tax reform law and the education reform law. Both of these laws are good policy.
Can you come back for next
Absolutely.
Segment? We'll talk a little bit more about this next segment. We'll be right back.
I wonder when the music started. We're getting to it.
Hi, this is Brian Myers at Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. By now, I'm sure you've heard about the Caffeinated Thoughts briefing on September 20th in Des Moines. I want to also invite you to attend Trinity Presbyterian Reformed Church in Johnston, Iowa, the following day, where Dr. James Wanless of the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation will be lecturing after the morning worship service. Reverend Michael Erickson will be preaching on a Christian worldview. So come at 9:30 the morning of September 21st. And enjoy a great time of worship, preaching, and instruction at Trinity Presbyterian Reformed Church, meeting at the Johnston Lions Club, 6401 Merle Hay Road in Johnston. That's the Johnston Lions Club, 6401 Merle Hay Road in Johnston. See you there.
I'm Congressman Steve King of Iowa. And I wanted to say a kind and encouraging word for Caffeinated Thoughts. Shane Vanderhart, since 2006, has been delivering consistently on his website conservative Christian constitutional viewpoint without apology, without hesitation, a clear analysis. We need his bold voice. It's a great place to go to get your news. It's a great place to go to get the analysis of the news from that perspective, a Christian constitutional conservative perspective.
This is Shane Vanderhart, Brian Myers, Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'd like to invite you to our Caffeinated Thoughts briefing on Saturday, September 20th at the Airport Holiday Inn and Conference Center in Des Moines. It starts at 8 a.m. and you can register at CaffeinatedThoughts.com by following the Caffeinated Thoughts briefing link.
We've got a great list of speakers, including Eric Gorenson, Dr. Bob Stoffer, State Senator Jack Whitfer, Jennifer Bowen, Dr. Sam Clovis, and Dr. E. Calvin Beisner.
This conference is sponsored by M&A Movement and Hauling Providence, Industrial Electronics Repair, and Nurse Force. Hey, welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. This is Shane Vanderhart, Brian Myers, and we have Mary Moseman in the studio with us, our state auditor. We asked Mary to stick around because we just at the tail end of our first segment, really got into the state budget conversation. That probably wasn't giving it an adequate amount of time, like, you know, 30 seconds. So you were just getting into talking about we had two laws on the books that were kind of putting us in an interesting position budget-wise.
I'll initially start by saying that the State Auditor's Office has historically talked about sound, consistent budgeting practices or budgeting principles. One of those principles is avoid the use of multi-year accelerating financial commitments. And in 2013, our 151 decision makers did put two laws on the books, the property tax reform law and the education reform law, and both of these laws have delayed multi-year accelerating financial commitments, mm-hmm. meaning that they didn't have any impact on the budget when they were enacted, but they have financial impacts on fiscal 15's budget, which we just started July of this year, mm-hmm. and those financial impacts increase or accelerate for a significant quantity of years. So I believe
But our reelection will be done by then, so that's all right, right?
Well, it just means that since it impacts commercial and industrial property taxpayers and the education budget, it's just something for our decision makers to keep long-term planning as a goal each and every budget year until these laws have run their financial course. And then, of course, it impacts our local governments.
Yeah, so, and with the education reform, right. I mean, we're going to constantly be having a school aid issue. And I believe they passed 4% allowable growth and then 4%. Is that what you're talking about, referring to?
I'm actually speaking about the education reform law where there's financial impact on different programs that this new law impacted.
The mentor teacher program.
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Okay. What are some things they're gonna probably have to face cuts, or are we gonna somehow try to increase revenue, or what are we looking at?
I made mention of the four consecutive years of surplus carry forward, and that surplus carry forward is in addition to our reserve funds being filled to capacity. So we do have that bridge in between our expenditures and our revenues for at least this fiscal year and probably into the upcoming years, but they do have a decision to make because the property tax reform law and education, that's an accelerated financial commitment. So mm-hmm. it's $1 figure this year, but it increases fiscal 16, fiscal 17,
so
all the way to fiscal 22
so
and 24.
So they may have some hard decisions
they will have hard decisions. So long-term planning is essential.
Great, and hopefully there won't be an election year. She's smiling. Unfortunately, it's too bad that people consider that when they make decisions, but that's just part of the process. So,
well, is it part of the role of the state auditor, you know, to, for lack of any other word, warn the decision makers that this is the reality and this is what you need to be thinking about?
Yes, absolutely. As the taxpayer's watchdog, absolutely. Talking about this with our decision makers, our General Assembly and our Governor's Office, but also the people of Iowa, because everybody that's a decision maker, the General Assembly, the Governor's Office, they are elected by the people. So if people are aware of the financial impact, it's their tax dollars that our decision makers use. So talking to the people of Iowa, letting them know that the impact of these two laws, which I'm going to guess that's why they became law, is the mm-hmm. people of Iowa thought that they were also a priority. So if the people want the laws to be effective as enacted, it's also my duty to make sure that they are aware of the financial future of the state.
Great. Where can people learn more about you and more about the auditor's office?
I have a campaign webpage and I have a official webpage. The official webpage, which is, again, all of our audits that we conduct as well as any government audit done by a private CPA firm. That's just auditor.iowa.gov. And then my campaign webpage, which has a lot of information about me and my campaign, that's marymoseman2014.com.
Great. Thank you so much for coming
Thanks
in.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much, Mary.
Hey, switching gears now. We're getting into our news segment a little bit early. We wanted to carry Mary Moseman over in the second segment a little bit longer because we didn't feel like we were given her discussion regarding state budget enough time. Rick Perry's been in the news a lot lately, and you know he may actually be one of the first presidential candidates who actually can launch a campaign after being indicted, and actually might be a launching pad for. Usually, that's a political career ender, but I don't think that's going to be the case with Governor Perry. He's actually becoming a rock star. And let me give you a little background if you're not familiar with this. The Travis County District Attorney basically was pulled over for a DUI. or DWI, I don't know what they call it in Texas, but she blew.
She was drunk.
She was drunker than a skunk. She blew a 2.239, which that's like
that's
three
massive.
Times. That's three times the legal limit. Okay. She was incredibly drunk, and I've seen video of her being booked, and she was incredibly obnoxious. And Governor Perry pressured her, said she should resign because she headed up the public integrity unit.
Yeah.
Having been pulled over for,
yeah,
you know,
what's wrong
and
with
blowing
this picture?
A 2.39 and actually threatening police officers for doing their job.
Yeah. She's obnoxious. She's slobbering drunk. It's all captured on video. And the guy says, you need to resign.
Exactly. So she, anyway, she oversees Texas Public Corruption Unit, which Perry threatened to veto funding for, or at least $7 million from, I believe, that was the exact amount, if she didn't resign.
And this was all done publicly.
Yes.
There was not some sort of private kind of a...
No, he stated this publicly. He said, you need to resign. She didn't resign. And guess what? A politician kept his promise, and he vetoed the funding. Now he's being charged. He was charged with a grand jury in Travis County, which Travis County, by the way, is the county that Austin is in. And if you're not familiar with Texas politics, it's like the liberal bastion. Probably it's like the little blue dot. There's some blue in Houston and some other areas in San Antonio. But, I mean, it's probably the most liberal area in the state of Texas. And this particular district attorney's office has been known for filing indictments against Republican politicians. Kay Hutchinson Bailey was indicted by this office. They've abused their power left and right. And he's saying, you know, he vetoed this. So she had a grand jury indict him on two counts of abuse of official capacity. And this was last Friday. He responded in a press conference a week from today, or actually, you know, we're recording early, so a week from, yeah, anyway, almost a week ago.
Well, and the thing of it is, these indictments by the grand jury were both felonies.
Exactly. Oh, yes. Yes. He's
these
facing,
are not small things.
He's facing 5 to 99 years for each count. Okay? So, anyway, here's Governor Perry's response.
We say thank you all for coming out here today. As governor, I took an oath to faithfully uphold the Constitution of the state of Texas, a pledge that I have kept every day as I've worked on behalf of Texans for the last 14 years. That's the same Constitution that clearly outlines the authority of any governor to veto items at his or her discretion. Just as I have, following every legislative session during my service as governor, I exercise this authority to veto funding for an office whose leadership had lost the public's confidence by acting inappropriately and unethically. I wholeheartedly and unequivocally stand behind my veto. And I'll continue to defend this lawful action of my executive authority as governor. We don't settle political differences with indictments in this country. It is outrageous that some would use partisan political theatrics to rip away at the very fabric of our state's Constitution. This indictment amounts to nothing more than abuse of power. And I cannot and I will not allow that to happen. I intend to fight against those who would erode our state's constitution and laws purely for political purposes, and I intend to win. I'll explore every legal avenue to expedite this matter and bring it to a swift conclusion. I'm confident that we will ultimately prevail, that this farce of a prosecution will be revealed for what it is, and those responsible will be held accountable. Thank you.
I like that at the end. Those responsible will be held accountable.
I got chills went up my spine because it's like, where was this Rick Perry in 2011? Because this man could have won the Iowa caucus.
Yeah. You and I both saw him speak multiple times. We both saw him in his debate performances, and we were both very disappointed.
Yeah, exactly. And I know there were probably...
I'd written him off.
Yeah, I had too. I was disappointed because I knew he could do better than this. And I think there was a lot to be said that, yeah, hey, he did have back surgery. He was under pain medication. It probably wasn't the best decision to run under those circumstances. And I think he's going to get he's a rock star. It's not just because of this. I mean, sending troops to the border.
Yeah, he was already developing a lot of momentum down there on the immigration issue relative to the crisis that they're having at the border in Texas.
Exactly. So he's got a platform to launch from. And you know what? There are actually Democrats coming to his defense.
This is funny.
Yeah. David Axelrod said,
he said this whole business was sketchy.
Exactly. How do you indict somebody for a veto? How do you indict a governor for a veto? He's constitutionally allowed to do that. He doesn't have to have a reason.
And you want
he can do it for any reason.
You want the translation?
He can just say, I just don't like that office, and I can veto.
You want the translation to Axelrod's use of the word sketchy? It means, we wouldn't even do this in Illinois.
yeah. It's, you know, there's something wrong. You know there's something wrong with the charges if David Axelrod thinks they're hinky, okay?
There was nothing hidden here.
No, exactly. I mean, the only time where they could possibly... charge him with any type of corruption is if somebody paid him to veto, then that would be bribery.
Sure.
And then that would be a felony, but that's not the case. He just followed through on a public, very public threat.
Yeah. He says your office is a mess. It's lost the confidence of the people of the state of Texas. And this is what I'm going to do. I'm not going to give you tax money if you don't resign.
And just want to read a quick quote from Alan Dershowitz, who's a Harvard law professor, not a conservative by any stretch of the imagination. He said, this is another example of criminalization of party differences. This idea of an indictment is an extremely dangerous trend in America, whether directed at former House Majority Leader Tom DeLay or former President Bill Clinton. Further, he said... if you don't like them, you indict. He said, in such countries where, totalitarian countries do this, this shouldn't happen. He said, in America, you vote against them. This should be up to the voters. There's no room in America for abuse of office charges, and this has to stop once and for all. This is a serious problem. I totally agree. This was reported by Newsmax, by the way. It's just incredible to me. And Governor Perry recently went in. He was booked, and I have to tell you, if you haven't seen his mugshot, go look it up.
That's priceless.
He took a mugshot like a boss. I mean, that was great. But he said, basically, when he was at Travis County Courthouse, the audio wasn't good. We play that. He said, I am here today because I believe in the rule of law. He could have just tried to skirt it. He could have just hid behind his lawyers. But no, he's just been handling this masterfully. I've been very impressed. So he could actually be the first presidential candidate to see an indictment as a launching pad. So hopefully that continues. I think he's going to be, he'll be acquitted. This is ridiculous charges.
It'll be interesting to see how this all pans out relative to the election.
Absolutely. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back. This is Shane Vanderhaar with Brian Myers, Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'd like to invite you to our Caffeinated Thoughts briefing on Saturday, September 20th at the Airport Holiday Inn and Conference Center in Des Moines. It starts at 8 a.m. and you can register at CaffeinatedThoughts.com by following the Caffeinated Thoughts briefing link.
We've got a great list of speakers, including Eric Gorenson, Dr. Bob Stouffer, State Senator Jack Whitfer, Jennifer Bowen, Dr. Sam Clovis, and Dr. E. Calvin Beisner.
This conference is sponsored by M&A Movement in Hauling and Providence, Industrial Electronics Repair, and Nurse Force.
I'm Congressman Steve King of Iowa, And I wanted to say a kind and encouraging word for Caffeinated Thoughts. Shane Vanderhart, since 2006, has been delivering consistently on his website conservative Christian constitutional viewpoint without apology, without hesitation, a clear analysis. We need his bold voice. It's a great place to go to get your news. It's a great place to go to get the analysis of the news from that perspective, a Christian constitutional conservative perspective.
Hi, this is Brian Myers at Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. By now, I'm sure you've heard about the Caffeinated Thoughts briefing on September 20th in Des Moines. I want to also invite you to attend Trinity Presbyterian Reformed Church in Johnston, Iowa, the following day, where Dr. James Wanless of the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation will be lecturing after the morning worship service. Reverend Michael Erickson will be preaching on a Christian worldview. So come at 9:30 the morning of September 21st. And enjoy a great time of worship, preaching, and instruction at Trinity Presbyterian Reformed Church, meeting at the Johnston Lions Club, 6401 Merle Hay Road in Johnston. That's the Johnston Lions Club, 6401 Merle Hay Road in Johnston. See you there.
Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. This is Shane Vanderhart with Brian Myers. Oh, Brian. He's like not. He's got his white man thing going on here. Hey, he's trying to shuck and jive to the music.
Yeah, getting into
and
the
it's
music.
It's kind of funny. I should get it on video sometime, put it up on our Facebook page, which, by the way, you can find at facebook.com, Caff Thoughts. So like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. Always go to caffeinatedthoughts.com. Bookmark us, subscribe to our feed, sign up for our email list.
Send money.
Yeah, well, hey, there is a tip jar, so you can do that too. anyway, or at least click the ads. Click the ads. That I'd appreciate that. So anyway, a plug-in for subscribing now. So you wanted to make another – you had a thought about Perry during the break.
Well, it's not so much about Perry, but you made a great point about it was with respect to Dershowitz's remarks. The same sort of thing is going on with regard to special prosecutors.
Yes.
I mean, if you are the poor, sad sack that ends up indicted by a special prosecutor in this country, your life is over. It doesn't matter if you're guilty or you're innocent. Your career is over. If you had any money, it's all going to be gone. These are
like
things.
The Clintons. Oh, well, wait a minute.
Well, I mean, there are a number of guys that have faced this problem where you've got the weight of government going against you in a legal case. They've got an endless supply of money. They got all the resources at their disposal.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're over there mortgaging everything, including your cat, you know, trying to finance a defense. There's a problem in this country with this sort of thing, regardless of the issue, regardless of the guilt or the innocence.
And it doesn't even necessarily need to be special prosecutor. You've seen this even with just civil lawsuits against elected officials. Sarah Palin went through this. Governor Branstad's actually being personally sued for his decision regarding the administrative law judge. So it's ridiculous and it needs to get put to a stop. We need to protect our elected officials. You shouldn't face bankruptcy because you serve. There was just a quick point, and then we need to move on to other news. There was a liberal blogger, Des Moines Dem at Bleeding Heartland, who wrote a post saying, Republicans are cheering Rick Perry, but at the same time they cheered, you know, when Bill Clinton was going through his process. And I had to point out, actually, I didn't, because you know I didn't like what Bill Clinton did, but frankly, I didn't think it met the threshold for constitutional impeachment. Some people might disagree with that.
Yeah, I would be one.
But also, too, I thought, not going to get through the Senate.
Why
is the point? Actually, and it ended up hurting Republicans in the long run. So I'm not sure it was the best.
That's a subject for perhaps another time, because I would like to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, we want to get historical on you, you know. Yeah. So
hysterical.
Hysterical, yeah. Anyway, okay. Well, Brian and I disagree on something. This
will
be a first.
No, Ron, you better flag the tape on that one, buddy.
So, anyway, moving along, there was a disturbing story in the New American from August 17th. Mother drowned two newborns to save money on abortion, and it starts off with a G.K. Chesterton quote, "Let all the babies be born, then let us drown those we do not like." Obviously, that was tongue-in-cheek by Mr. Chesterton, and he was making a pro-life point. But it's just disturbing that a mother, it's like, well, abortion's too expensive, so I'm just going to wait for this baby to be born. And I'm not saying she should abort the baby, okay? Don't get me wrong here, but it's just appalling.
Well, but here's the thing, and I've been waiting for this sort of thing to happen more and more, because people who are inclined to have an abortion, they're looking at this issue and they're saying, what is the difference if I have a third trimester abortion that's legal versus me giving birth and drowning the baby? I mean, if they're inclined to have an abortion, especially at a late term, then there's going to be no conscientious objection on their part, to not commit a murder after the fact. I mean, they don't see the distinction, and frankly, neither do we. That's the point.
Exactly. Yeah. And definitely. Well, and there have been abortionists who have actually, you've had a baby, end up surviving the abortion, and then they just put it off in the corner to the baby off to die, which is murder, frankly, and something President Obama thinks is okay practice. By the way, if you've forgotten, he voted against the Born Alive Protection Act in Illinois twice. So it's life is life. If life begins at conception, doesn't matter what that life is, 6 weeks, in the womb old, or 2 months outside the womb, or 95 years old.
Well, this is the sort of thing.
Innocent life needs to be protected.
This is the sort of thing I think we're going to continue to see, and we're going to see more of, because, like I say, people are going to say, "What's the difference, and where's the problem?"
That we have an increasingly secular culture too that does not have that place of value in life. We believe in the protection of innocent life because one, God is life, and He's the creator and author of life, and He in Psalm 139 is very clear that He knit us together in our mother's womb, and life begins at conception. Yeah. God is involved. He defined it. We don't have the authority or right to change that.
And then there's the little matter of the seventh commandment.
Exactly.
Excuse me, do not forgive me. Sixth.
Yeah. Well,
thou shalt not kill.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So then you got a guy like Richard Dawkins, for instance, who tweeted out to a parent who was carrying a baby with that's been tested to say they had likelihood that it has Down syndrome, and he said, "Abort it and try again," because apparently the first abortion failed. "It would be immoral to bring it into the world if you have the choice."
That's incredible,
just appalling. I mean, because again, God knit that baby together in his or her mother's womb. And He has a purpose and plan for that life. Who are we to say?
Well, and it doesn't surprise me that He thinks that it'd be a good idea to abort that baby. That doesn't surprise me. What I find ironic is that this guy who doesn't believe in God is suggesting that to do otherwise is immoral.
Yeah, what basis
what
do you have?
What is moral?
Immoral. What Great are you basing Scott. That on? I mean, you just your own whim? That's exactly. And that's scary. At least we have an external standard for what is right and good. The atheist is just whatever they decide is okay.
Well, we were talking earlier, I think it's Immanuel Kant that said that all morality presupposes the existence of God. So where does Dawkins get off saying anything is immoral?
He doesn't. He doesn't have any moral authority to say that. So, yeah, it's appalling. Then we have a Christian worship writer, author of
yeah, she writes praise ditties or something, right?
Exactly. You know what? I never actually heard of her before this story. But because she came out of the closet, she suddenly, mainstream.
In fairness, you may have sung some of her songs and just not known that she was the author. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't. Actually, usually a lot of Matt Redman and Passion Conference stuff. So possibly.
Well, her name is Vicky Beeching, right?
Yeah, 35. Yeah. And the UK Guardian describes her as the British star of the American Christian rock scene and one of the most successful artists in U.S. megachurches and now one of the most sought-after religious commentators in Britain. I think that's an accurate description of her.
No.
Like, because many of us evangelicals are saying, who?
Well, in any case, I mean, here she is. She comes out of the closet and then says, God loves me just the way I am. Here we go again.
Yes.
So we have another alleged evangelical Christian out there saying, I can be homosexual. It's okay.
It's like, you know what? God does love you, but he died because of your homosexuality. He was nailed to a cross because of our sin. To say that's okay to go ahead and continue to live in your sin is appalling to me. There's a disconnect there with your worldview and what the Bible says.
Yeah. It's complete ignorance of Scripture.
This
willful disobedience, I should say.
It's Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back.
I'm Congressman Steve King of Iowa, and I wanted to say a kind and encouraging word for Caffeinated Thoughts. Shane Vanderhart, since 2006, has been delivering consistently on his website conservative Christian constitutional viewpoint without apology, without hesitation, a clear analysis. We need his bold voice. It's a great place to go to get your news. It's a great place to go to get the analysis of the news from that perspective, a Christian constitutional conservative perspective.
This is Shane Vanderhart, Brian Myers, Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'd like to invite you to our Caffeinated Thoughts briefing on Saturday, September 20th at the Airport Holiday Inn and Conference Center in Des Moines. It starts at 8 a.m. and you can register at CaffeinatedThoughts.com by following the Caffeinated Thoughts briefing link.
We've got a great list of speakers, including Eric Gorenson, Dr. Bob Stouffer, State Senator Jack Whitfer, Jennifer Bowen, Dr. Sam Clovis, and Dr. E. Calvin Beisner.
This conference is sponsored by M&A Moving and Hauling Providence, Industrial Electronics Repair, and Nurse Force.
Hi, this is Brian Myers at Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. By now, I'm sure you've heard about the Caffeinated Thoughts briefing on September 20th in Des Moines. I want to also invite you to attend Trinity Presbyterian Reformed Church in Johnston, Iowa, the following day, where Dr. James Wanless of the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation will be lecturing after the morning worship service. Reverend Michael Erickson will be preaching on a Christian worldview. So come at 9:30 the morning of September 21st. And enjoy a great time of worship, preaching, and instruction at Trinity Presbyterian Reformed Church, meeting at the Johnston Lions Club, 6401 Merle Hay Road in Johnston. That's the Johnston Lions Club, 6401 Merle Hay Road in Johnston. See you there.
Welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you by M&A Moving and Hauling, serving all of Central Iowa for your moving needs. Call Adam or Brian at 515-491-6348, and they'll send you a couple of guys. Hey, we wanted to talk about our Caffeinated Thoughts briefing. It's going to be it's going to be an education for you, all right, because we're going to have some great speakers, myself probably excluded, but I'll be there.
No, buddy, you're a great.
I'll be a warm body in the. I was going to say pulpit, but not in the behind the podium. But no, we're going to have some great speakers. It's going to be a policy discussion. We're going to be going a little bit. I mean, everybody's familiar with political events, and generally those are crammed full of 15-minute speeches. Sometimes a little bit longer, where you hear candidates come and just give promises and blow a lot of hot air and make you think that maybe they should be down in Indianola for the hot air classic.
You're really going to endear yourself to the guys that we have invited.
Yeah. No, but seriously, I mean, if we're going to be honest here, that's how we view a lot of politicians. We're going to go much. We're going to be focused on issues. Now, we have invited some politicians, some good ones, some people that we like and respect. And they have expertise in certain areas. Sam Clovis is going to be coming and talking. I'm not entirely sure all, but what he's going to talk about. But he's been on the stump when he was running for Senate before he lost the primary and is now running for state treasurer. He was very good on our Constitution. And
I think Sam Clovis is going to bring the house down.
Yes, he's going to be great.
I mean, he's a powerful speaker. He's very articulate. He's got a wealth of experience and knowledge.
State Senator Jack Whitfer will be speaking, addressing our state budget. And here's the thing. What you normally don't get with political events is that we're going to have time. They'll go a little bit in depth into a subject, and we're going to have time for Q&A, so people can ask their questions. So that'll be good. I'll be talking about education policy, specifically Common Core and the growing trend of centralizing education. Probably talk about next generation science standards as well.
Eric Goranson is also going to be speaking on education, no doubt.
On school choice. School and choice. I'm sure he'll be discussing the education savings account legislation that we're anticipating that'll come this year. Dr. Bob Stauffer, superintendent of Oskaloosa Christian Schools, used to be Des Moines Christian Schools. He'll be talking about Christian education. I'm sure he'll be talking a lot about family. If you ever heard him speak, he's like, he doesn't drink coffee. He's just naturally caffeinated. And the man is just...
He came out wired, huh?
Yeah, just wind him up and let him go. Dr. Calvin Beisner is going to come, and that's going to be a special treat. He's with the Cornwall Alliance for Biblical Stewardship, or Stewardship of Creation, Stewardship of Creation, and he'll be talking about the greening of the gospel and the green environment and green agenda, and debunking that. And I'm really looking forward to that.
If you want to get down in the weeds on some of these environmental issues or climate change or any of that, Dr. Beisner's your guy.
Yeah, Steve Lonigan. Steve is a former U.S. Senate candidate in New Jersey, and he also had run for governor before as well. He's now, full disclosure, works with American Principles Project, so he's a colleague of mine. He is going to be speaking on monetary policy. Monetary policy, and I'm excited about it because it's going to be hard to get our economy on track without, addressing this issue. Our dollar is broken. That's September 20th. Mark your calendars. Better yet, go to caffeinatedthoughts.com and hit the Caffeinated Thoughts briefing link at the top and register. Buy your tickets. It's going to be a great day. It's going to be an educational day. And Jennifer Bowen speaking to Iowa Right to Life. And
Jan Michelson.
I'd be remiss. Not Jan Michelson, WHO Radio is going to be coming as well. And we'll probably have a couple additional speakers beyond this as well. They'll maybe announce next week. So anyway, sign up at the website, caffeinatedthoughts.com. Go to the Caffeinated Thoughts briefing. And then Brian and I, of course, will be speaking too.
Well, and come to Trinity Presbyterian Reformed Church the next day. And Dr. Wanless, who's been on the show with us before and is a colleague of Dr. Beisner's, Dr. Wanless will be lecturing after the morning worship service. So don't miss that.
Anyway, just be sure to go, caffeinatedthoughts.com. Hit the link at the top, Caffeinated Thoughts briefing. On there, you can read all the speaker bios and register online. We hope to see you there. Oh, and just one other thing. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll see you next week.